Oh, Sean, I'm going to miss those little comments all. All right, so yeah. That's my last message. All right, we'll pretend it's not. We'll pretend it's not real. All right, so listen, we're going to go out big because I'm going to talk about something in my life that I think is super, super important. And I think it's super important in all of your lives. And I think it's perfect for the way to end things here because it's just something that, you know, even that video you saw, I talked about purpose and that God's purpose is him and it's always going to be him and he's always going to be there forever and he's never going to change. Even if people come in and out of your life to change, he's never going to change. This is who God is. This is what he does. And people might think, well, it doesn't make any sense because you're leaving and now I have nobody. But God is there, and God will place the right person here in order to talk to you, because that's what he does. You know, there was a moment 5 years ago where I had to leave a church to come here. And if I didn't, then I wouldn't have came at the time God needed me to be here. And the same thing's happening again in my life, and that means something new has to be here. Now, I want you to open up your Bible if you have it. It's Isaiah 43:1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And it says this. Are you there? Is everybody there?
No.
I'll give you a second. For those, you went home? Oh, okay. Oh, Zach's there. I mean, that's why we do that, because people don't bring their Bibles. I'm just kidding. Somewhat. All right, here we go. Verse 1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from the east to the west. I will say to the north and the south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing. I pray that you speak through me. Use the words that you have me to say. Have me say them correctly. Let me speak through it. Let their hearts be open to hear from you. Let their minds be open to hear. Let them not be distracted by things that are going on, but let them know that no matter where they go, no matter what they do, you are with them because you created them for a greater purpose. Father, so we thank you for that, and we love you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. All right, so here's the deal. We all have a purpose. My life theme is about purpose. Everything I've ever done in my life is about purpose. I don't believe God does anything in your life without him having a purpose for you to do it. That doesn't mean that you don't mess up. That doesn't mean God's purpose was for you to mess up. What it means is when you mess up, God has a purpose and a plan that he's going to fix for you as you go through the things that you go through that you shouldn't go through. Preach. God wants to do something in your life, and it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. The purpose for you is there, and he says it. He says, I have created you. He made you. He took time, and he said, you know what? I want to put Brianna on this world. Yeah, maybe she'll cheer for a while, and that'll be fun and dandy, but there's something greater that I have for her. This is what God does. He creates you. He said, I want to make Zach. Yeah, he might have a mullet for a season, but that's okay. I want to make him do something greater. Everybody has something that he's going to do with. That wasn't a knock. I'm just saying everybody has seasons. I had hair for a while.
Yeah.
Things change. Things go sideways. You lose your hair. Part of life. I embraced it. You know why? Because I have a good head, and it works out for me. Pastor Tyler told me the other day, he goes, you're just lucky that you have a good head. If I shave my head, could you imagine, Tyler? No, anyway, all right, so. We all have a purpose. My life theme is purpose. I have a huge passion to show people they have a greater purpose. Too many things are built and not used for the purpose that they were built for, including us as people. How many things do you have in your house? Listen, we're moving. Obviously, you all know that. I know it's a touchy subject. I get it. It's touchy for me, too. But we threw away 6 to 7 bags of trash this weekend on top of 3 loads of trash the last 2 weekends. There's things that are built that we're not using. That's like, Angela, relax. We're not hoarders. We're not hoarders. We just have some attic space, you know, attic and garage. Most of you in your room, if you look under your bed, you probably have about 4 pounds of trash. Mom would tell you. Listen, I know, fellas, they always try to say you're the messy ones, but girls are worse. Believe me. I've been to plenty of summer camps to know girls are disgusting when it comes to the cleanliness of their room. I still love them, but they are dirty, and that's okay. Now, yeah, that's because the guys bring 3 pairs of shorts and they wear the same ones every day. That's why they smell too. So, all right, so here's the deal. We all have a purpose. We all have a purpose. Too many people have a purpose and they haven't fulfilled it because they continue to try to overthink things, look through things. When we serve God, our purpose shines because we were created to shine. You were created to be something. You were created to have a light. You were created to move. We are called to glorify Jesus and praise Jesus. That is why we're here, to say, you know what? Life might be tough, but God is better. That's why we're here. We're here to praise him, to lift him up. How do we glorify him? There's 2 things. It's so simple. Your purpose is as easy as it gets, and you guys overthink it. We all overthink it, but the purpose of life is so easy. It's love God and love people. That's all it takes. Love God and love people. If everybody actually did that, things would be better. But they don't. We overcomplicate it. We try to figure things out. Let's look at Luke 10, 25, verse 25 through 28. I opened my Bible, but it's also on my iPad, so. Here it goes. It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." This is the verse for purpose. You want to know what you're created to do? Love God with everything you have and leave nothing behind. If you can do that, it'll be easy to love people, even the ones that annoy the mess out of you. Because sometimes you might start off as enemies, and if you love each other, you become friends. That's how things work. I know how it works in this world. You see somebody. I remember this guy. When I was in high school, there was a guy. His name was Bo. Angela remembers Bo, right? Do you remember Bo? Yeah. So there was a guy named Bo. I had just moved from New Jersey to South Carolina. I was going to high school. My accent was still pretty thick Jersey-wise. I'm not saying it was Jersey Shore thick, but it was close. And I moved to South Carolina, and I met a guy named Bo from a town called Pickens in the middle of nowhere. This guy was as country as it got. When we first moved to the school, he didn't like me. I didn't like him. Pretty obvious, north, south. You all know history. There was a little war. A lot of things happened in there. There was a guy. So his name was Bo. His name was Bo. I mean, you don't even hear people named Bo in New Jersey. Like, it doesn't exist. I thought you spelled it B-O until I realized it was B-E-A-U. I don't know. I'm telling you, he was Southern. He drove a Chevelle. It was cherry red, nice muscle car. I'm talking about Vin Diesel would be jealous. Fast and Furious, they'd be jealous. This car was nice. So we met each other. He used to tell people that I was arrogant and loud and just another Yankee. I was like, you got 2 out of 3, right? No, I'm just kidding. Loud and Yankee, not arrogant. You know what I'm saying? All right, so the point is, we didn't like each other. But you know what happened? We started to like each other. We actually became best friends through high school. Weird, I know. Weirder, I brought him to New Jersey. He lasted a few days. He went back. He was just visiting, but he's like, I miss my girlfriend. I'm like, I think you're nervous. He drove back. But we were good friends. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He went into the military, and we kind of misconnected. I tried to look through him on Facebook, but he's pretty Southern. I'm not sure he even uses Facebook. So the thing is, I've been trying to get reconnected with him. But the point is, we only started this relationship because we started to open up our eyes and let us see things that we probably wouldn't normally look at. This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to love him with everything that you have. The first purpose in your life is love God, give him glory, praise him, and honor him. Love God, give him glory, praise him, and honor him. How many people can say that every morning they wake up, they do those 4 things for God? Got quiet. Because probably everybody in this room has a hard time doing those 4 things every day, myself included. Because we live in a world where there's distractions. We live in a world where God's not number one priority. You know what is? Our cell phones and digital tablets and all those things that distract us and get us in trouble are more important than God. So what happens is it's hard for us to glorify him, and then we go, I don't know what my purpose is. Swipe right. We don't know what our purpose is because we're so distracted on what the world's trying to tell us to do. Oh, look at the new filter on Facebook. I wish my life looked like this. Yeah, whatever. It's all the same. All right, I get it. I'm 33. Relax, okay? It's all the same. I don't use Instabook. Anyway, just kidding. Build a relationship with God. Build a relationship with God. Be obedient to him. That is your purpose. Once you do this, your purpose will ignite. It's so simple. Live for God with everything you have. You know that if you live for God with everything you have, then everything you come in contact with will be, you'll be able to figure out how to get through it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You'll just know how to get through it because you know your purpose will be God. Your purpose is Jesus. Your purpose is glorifying him. Yeah, but my life stinks right now. That doesn't matter. Your life's not supposed to be perfect. Your life is supposed to praise Jesus. Life is not perfect. It's just not. I wish I could come around and smack all of you and you'd have a great life. Because I'm violent at heart. I wish I could do those things. But I can't. I can't do those things. You could come out of this service, you could have God totally destroy your life and be like, my life's over, I'm going to change, I'm going to live for God, all these things. Then you're going to walk out the door and the world's going to come at you and you're going to crumble because you don't have the relationship with him that you need. That's the problem. Well, I don't know what my purpose is, Brian. Live for God. That's your purpose. Praise God. That's your purpose. Even when it stinks, even more when it stinks. God says when you go through hard times, you're supposed to praise him. Listen, this Wednesday coming up, me and 9 other people are going to a country called Romania. We're also going to go to a partial country called Hungary, where I'm from originally. My family's Hungarian, so we're going to go and we're going to hopefully see where my family came from and all that kind of good stuff. That'll be cool. But here's the deal. We are all Americans going to a foreign country. Everyone understand? Let me tell you something about the people going. You have me, already a problem. If you don't know I'm American by the time I walk in the airport, there's already a problem. You have all these people go. You have Jonathan, can't stop talking. You know that's American. That's American all it is. You have Rob and Deborah. Rob's singing Fresh Prince right off the plane, I promise. You got Houston. He probably will wear all sports American. Oh, no. They'll think he's from Canada because he's a Blue Jays fan. But still, he's going to be from a different country. You got Olivia, who's going to be like the mom of the trip anyway, and she's going to be over there trying to tell us all to calm down. And And then you have Lolo, who people just won't want to be around because he'll fart the entire trip. So you have this whole issue of problems. And there's more people, but I'm just telling you the people you can see in this room kind of help you visualize what's happening. So you have all these Americans that think we are the most powerful people in the world. And we're going to walk in there. You know, I have a shirt. I have a USA shirt. I'm tempted to wear it. I'm tempted. Because that's how arrogant I am when it comes. I'm just kidding. I probably just wear a Trump shirt. We should be fine. So the point is, the point is, we are all a little bit terrified that we're going to another country. Now, listen, Nicholas and Josh are from Romania. They grew up in Romania. They were born in America, but they grew up in Romania most of their childhood, till about teenage years. So they're used to that country. They know a little bit about that country. We're going where the whole week, it's not, most of the week it's going to be between 30 and 45 degrees. Everybody I'm with's already in trouble because they live in Texas. If it hits 30 degrees here, you guys shut stuff down. You literally close the, we're not going to church today, it's too cold. So there is some nerves that come with this, but you know what? There'll probably be some times when we're there where we're frustrated. You're with the same people. You ever seen a reality TV show? You're with 10 people for 10 days in a foreign country. It's literally could be the next Real World. So what happens is, without the alcohol and all the other bad things, but the whole point is, when we go, it's going to be scary, and there's probably going to be times where somebody annoys the other person. Somebody's going to get irritated. Something's going to happen that we don't want to do. Somewhere, we're going to go somewhere we don't want to be. We're going to do things, but you know what? Even no matter how tough it gets, I'm going to miss my family terribly for 10 days. I don't like to be away. If you know me, I don't like to be by myself for longer than an hour. I don't like to be away from Angela. The tops, Angela and Roman, tops 2 days. After 2 days, I'm kind of like, baby. So we're going to be 10 days. We're going to be a little edgy, I'm sure. There'll be moments. But you know what? We're going to praise God because he's sending us to glorify him. And that's your life. Your life, your school is a missions field. Why? Because you know the people in your school. They are what you call dysfunctional. Because people in this room, because most of us in this room are dysfunctional. So when you put a bunch of dysfunctional people into a room in a classroom for 8 hours and they're learning something they don't care about, they get more dysfunctional. They get more frustrated. But you know what? It's about loving God and praising God. Your purpose is to reach out to God. That's your purpose. That's your plan. And then the second part he goes on and says this, love people. If you are loving God, loving people comes with this. You can't love God and hate people. It actually biblically says you can't do it. So that means if you have hate in your heart, then you got to ask yourself, how much love do you really have for God? Because God says you're supposed to love people because you love him, and then you're supposed to love people. Here's the best part. We know we're all pretty self-involved because we have social media, and most of you can't go a day without a selfie. So what happens is, if we're that self-involved and we love ourselves that much that we wake up and we look in the mirror and we're like, oh, I look good today. Oh, I like that filter. I look even better. If we are that involved with ourselves, we're supposed to love people that much. You should love people as much as you love yourself. What if I don't love myself? Well, then you're not loving God. You should always love God and you love people. It will be a desire you cannot escape. You will share Christ if you love him. Your purpose is easier than you think. Love God, share God. That's it. Love God, share God. Love God, share God. Well, what's my purpose? Love God, love people, share God. Because if you love God as much as you say you do, it shouldn't be hard for you to tell people about him. But if you just love him for your salvation, well, then maybe it's hard for you to talk to people about him. Because you're really only loving him based out of fear, which isn't really love anyway. Well, I only love God because I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's not really fair, is it? Because that's not the point. The perk is we don't go to hell. That's not the point. The point is that we love God because he created us to glorify him. We weren't created for Snapchat. We were created to get on our knees and pray and lift our hands. That's why we were created. not because of social media, not because of our boyfriends, not because of our girlfriends, not because of our family, not because of our friends, not because of our children. We were born to get on our knees, lift our hands, and raise it up for Jesus. That's why we were created. That's the purpose of our life. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. You have to understand, you're a mirror. You were created to reflect Jesus. You might not like mirrors because you have to look at yourself. But the problem is, if you're looking at a mirror and you don't like what you're looking at, then you have deeper issues than just your outside appearance. Because most of the time when you look at a mirror and you see something that you don't like, it's because you don't like something that's happening on the inside. I remember, because I was a depressed teenager that almost killed himself. I didn't like my insides. That doesn't mean I looked bad. I don't think I ever looked bad. But that doesn't mean I looked bad. But what I know is that I wasn't good on the inside, so everything else around me wasn't good. You reflect who you are. You know, people always go, how do you know I'm in a bad mood? How do you, you know, you have those friends, you're like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. You're such a freaking liar. Why are you lying to me? I'm fine. You don't talk like that on a normal basis. Yes, I do. I'm fine. You don't yell at me like this. I'm not yelling. I'm just frustrated. So there's something wrong. No. You're a mirror. What you produce, people see. They see who you are. You can't hide it. You know why I like little kids? Because of this. They tell you everything honestly. They come up to you and go, you look fat. It's just extra weight, son. You'll figure it out one day. You know, like, they're just honest. Could you imagine if we were all just honest and didn't get offended because somebody was trying to help you? People, we say we want friends to tell us what we should be doing, but when our friends tell us what we're doing is wrong, we get mad at our friends. Like, how about this? Everybody, most of you in here have done with what you guys call relationships. And most of you have had them. They've been good. They've been bad. They've been up. They've been down. They've been drama. They've been fun. All these kinds of things. But you have the friends that are there that are like, I don't think you should date them. How dare you? You don't know them. You don't know anything about them. No, they don't. But you know, here's the deal. They don't know them, but guess who they do know? They know you, and they know God. They know you, and they know God, and they know that you shouldn't be with that person. I'm not saying that all your friends are great relationship people, because let me tell you, the person that has a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend every week, don't take dating advice from them. Just heads up. But what I'm saying is, somebody that might have been, you know, with the same girl since he was 16, probably a good person to talk to about advice. But, hey, I'm just a phone call away whenever you guys are ready. No problem. No, I was just saying, in general, no, you have never come to me with relationship advice, most of you. Because, you know, and then when I do come in front of you, you go like this. I didn't want to talk to you because I knew what you were going to say. Well, how'd you know what I was going to say? I just know what you're going to say. Why? Because you know what is the truth and you're trying to deny it because you're not listening to the people around you. The point is this. Our job is to love God. And if we love God, we reflect God. And if we're not reflecting God, that means something in our life is in a closet and is hiding. And we're trying to hold it in, but eventually it comes out. One day you send a text message to the wrong person. And you're like, what? Somebody stole my phone. You have to understand this. Our job is to reflect Jesus. You have one purpose, two purposes in life. Love God, love people. But if you love God, you'll reflect God. And if you reflect God, you'll love people. That's how it works. It's simple. I had people the other day, somebody came to me the other day, they're like, oh, this person doesn't think you like him, da 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 da. And I was like, I don't hate anyone. You don't hate anyone. Well, the Red Sox get on my nerves, but I don't hate them. They're close. Patriots are even closer. But the thing is, I got over that because the Giants keep beating them. So it doesn't matter. So the point is, you love people because you love God. And the people that you don't love, you should think about praying for, because they probably don't have God. And that's why you don't like them. Because you can't come into the Christian bubble and talk about your faith. Instead, they come and they question you about your faith, and you don't know enough about Jesus to defend your faith. And then you get nervous. Because the problem is, we get nervous about talking about God because we don't know enough about God. If somebody came to me and asked me all these questions about Angela, I'd be a little nervous, but I'd be like, I think I'm going to be all right. Why? Because I know her. I know my wife. I've known her since she was 16. I know that she likes a really clean house. I know that she's a great cook. I know that she loves her boys. I know things about her. Sometimes I'm not as detailed as she is about me, but I think that's a man-woman problem, not so much a love problem. I think it's she's a little more detailed than me, so she remembers, like, literally I see something on TV, and she goes, I remember you wanted that. I'm like, what? She'll say something, and I'm like, I better start writing this down, because I just forget. Not because I don't care, I just forget. I'm like, Christmas is, like, great for me. She's like a great gift giver, because she all year she's like, he likes these. I'm like, which has happened. So now I'm trying. I still haven't gotten good at it. I keep telling myself every time she says something, I'm going to write it down. But then I'm like, I don't know where my phone is. I get lazy. And then I forget. It's not right. It's not good. I'm working on it. I'm hoping that this Christmas I can do something well. But usually I just have her send me a link of things, and then I surprise her. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't get her everything. So I just like, she doesn't know what she's getting. So Psalm 34:3 says, Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. We are a mirror, and we have to magnify him. Psalm 84, 1, 2, and 10 says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I feign with longing to enter the courts of the Lord with my whole being, body, and soul. Listen, David here says this, with my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. And if you were a 90s Christian, you would be like, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is, you know, anyway, you know the drift. The point is, that was 90s youth group right there. 1,000 elsewhere. All right, so the point is, David here was saying, I'm giving everything I have to God. Every bit of it, every part of it, I give it all to Jesus. You know why you give it all to Jesus? So when transition happens in your life, no matter what that transition is, you still know God is for you. Because if you don't give it all to God, you give it all to a man or a woman. And if you give it all to a man or a woman, they are going to fail you, promise. Because they're not perfect. God's perfect. You give it all to him, and you're always going to see victory. You're always going to see it. Psalm 67, 1, 2 says, May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May you always be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. Listen, God's telling you, you will reach nations if you allow yourself to. Nations, not just LaPorte, Texas. Nations. You want to impact God's kingdom, don't settle for just one thing in your life and say, well, this is where my family's lived for 90 years. Okay, maybe God will call you to be here for another 90 years, and that's perfectly fine. But maybe God's going to ask you to do something you're not comfortable with, and you're going to have to make a decision. Is it based on what I feel, or is it based on what God's telling me? Because if I'm giving everything to God, I got to go. If I need to go to school tomorrow and tell my one friend about God because he's been telling me to do it for weeks, months, years, and I haven't done it, don't be the kid that doesn't do it and then something bad happens and then you regret it the rest of your life. Don't let that happen to you. Give everything you have to God. Your purpose was given to glorify and magnify him. You have to understand your process may look different than everybody else, but at the end it's all the same. Glorify Jesus. Jonathan, come up. Your process may look different. You know what that means? Zach's going to do things differently than Brianna's going to do things. Brianna's going to do things differently than Frankie's going to do things. Because everybody's process is different. He created you differently on purpose. Even twins he makes different. because they each have a different purpose. They each have a different calling. Yeah, they might have shared the same womb, and I'm sorry, but they're not the same person. God created you for something greater, and he has a purpose in you that is greater if you would just allow yourself to give everything to God. Glorify him, magnify him. Our purpose is Jesus. Why? Why do we complicate it? Why do we complicate the one thing that's so easy? You know how many times I have students get back from a summer camp and they go, I'm not going to use this anymore. I'm not going to use this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to break up with this person over here. They do that. You know why? Because for that glimpse, for that moment, they realize how great God is. And they realize that nothing else matters but God. But then they come back to the world and they don't read their word enough, and they don't pray enough, and they don't get alone enough, and they don't study the word enough. They don't give everything to God because they have their parents to deal with. They have their homework to deal with. They have their girlfriend or boyfriend to deal with. They have social media to deal with. They have school sports. They have all these different things that get in the way. And instead of bringing it all together and letting it all flow as one, they let it flow as all different things, and God gets put on the back burner. So then when they come back, they're like, I don't know why I gave up Snapchat. It's so much fun. Because they forget God told them to give it up. They forget what it's like, the reason why. I don't know why I'm dating this person. Because God told you not to date them. Why are you dating them? Because I forget what God said, because I don't hear his voice anymore. Because there's so many other things in my way, I can't hear what he's saying. If you give everything to God, everything will be okay. Each of us has a divine purpose, and the road looks different, but it's all the same at the end. Don't let your life be wasted. Don't let your purpose be wasted. Every person in this room is destined for greatness. That greatness might just be being a doctor. Might be being a veterinarian. Who knows? There's a purpose, though. You don't have to have a microphone. You don't have to play an instrument. You don't even have to work the soundboard. Or a camera. But maybe that's just the start of something. You don't get to greatness by just, I'm great. You start somewhere. You realize that when I first got into ministry, I was just like the E-Link kids. I was sweeping, I was cleaning, I was moving chairs, I was moving tip. And guess what? I'm still doing that. You don't see it because when I have the opportunity to let you do it, I let you do it to learn and love. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to spread the wealth. This is about what God has for you. I expect, the only reason I even enjoy social media, well, there's probably two reasons. One, I like to have fun, and I'm that guy that likes to Snapchat too much. That's fine. I like to cherish the moment, and I want everyone else to cherish it with me. You see what I'm saying? Maybe that's all, but you know why I also like social media? So if 10 years from now, I can see what all of you are doing. And I can see what great you're doing, or I can pray for you because I know you're struggling. Or I can reach out to you like I still do to kids that you have no idea I even know. Or kids that have come to here before and reach out to me randomly. Or friends from high school that I reach out to. Why? Because I try to stay connected with people because I think everyone's destined for greater things. I think everyone has a greater purpose. I truly believe this with all of my heart. I'm not just saying this for me. I truly believe this for you. This is going to be your best year yet. That's hard to understand right now, I know. But God is on the throne, which means it's going to be good. It's going to be all right. God's going to use you mightily if you let him. If you let him use you, he will use you. It's just like the movie with Kevin Costner. If you build it, they will come. God's the same way. If you use him, the victory will come. He's standing there like this, like, okay, guys, whenever you're ready, I'm still right here. I'm still the same God I was at camp when you got your whole life wrecked. I'm still, you know, when I was your age, my youth pastor left. And I could have walked away from church because I was really close to him. He's the one that I got born again with. He's the one that told me. He called me when I was still living a life of sin and said, I see leadership in you. Will you want to join our leadership team? I was like, what? I said, yes. And I went, why? Because he said, I believe in you, Brian. No one believed in me before that day. Well, I mean, my parents did, but that's like automatic. But I didn't have strangers just be like, hey, I believe in you. You want to be a leader? What's a leader? You know, I was 15 years old when I got saved. Like many of you in this room, I felt Christ for the first time at 15. You know what happened? He called me and said, I believe in you. So when he called me and did that, then I had just graduated high school and I was still involved with the youth with him. And he said, hey, I'm leaving. It wrecked my world. And I had an option right there because I was still living a life that I probably shouldn't be living. I was going back and forth. I was thinking this teeter-totter life was going to be worth it. Well, I'll just love God when I'm in church, and I love the world when I'm in the world. But I didn't. You know what I did? I embraced it. Yeah, maybe there were some things I didn't like about the new guy. Maybe there were some moments we had that I didn't click with. But you know what? It wasn't about him. It was about God, and I embraced it. And what happened was I'm here today because I didn't walk away from him because things changed. I kept going. I kept pursuing because he called me to do something better. This is the same for everybody in this room, so I know what you're going through. I know how hard it is. I understand those things, but don't think that God's abandoning you because he's not. Sometimes you have to go through new tests. Sometimes you have to go through new roads. Sometimes you have to go through new trials. This is part of life. Things are going to change, and if you don't learn to embrace change and let God handle it, you're always going to be on this up and down roller coaster. You have to embrace what God has for you. Everybody stand up. I don't think, to me, I don't say goodbyes because I don't think there is a goodbye. I think that we see you later. There's different times, different things. I think God is going to do something amazing in every person in this room. I just believe fully in that. Those leaders back there, they believe in you. These guys up here, they believe in you. You realize it's Sunday, it's nap time. They're here playing. They get here at 2:00 to practice. Why? Because they believe in you. While you're still taking your afternoon nap, they're here practicing for worship that only lasts 30 minutes. If that, yeah, sometimes John doesn't remember the words, but he's a human. That's part of life. We're not all perfect. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not even asking you to walk out of this room and never mess up again in your life. What I'm asking you is if you give every part of your soul to God and you lay it down and say, God, you are the one for me, then I promise you it will get better. The victory will come. Things will change. It doesn't come from just a message. It doesn't come from just a youth. It comes from your relationship with him. How much you want to get involved with him. You know, there's a lot of things. You think transition's only going to be hard. This is a transition's always tough. People ask me, what are you doing when you get over there? You got a church? You got a job? No. I don't have anything. Why are you going? Are you a crazy person? I think so. No, I'm going because God said go, just like he told Abraham to go. Abram went. And he didn't get told what to do until he got there. The one thing I know is that one day my wife and I are going to start a church. And we're going to impact people's lives, and it's going to be one of the hardest things I ever have to do in my life. I know that. Why? Because I'm dealing with people. I know what it's like to pour your life into people and watch them just fall apart because they don't want to just go ahead and make the relationship they have to make. I know what it's like to go through all these things. I know what it's like to push through. I know this is going to be the hardest thing I've ever done. This could possibly be the last message I preach as a youth pastor. I've only known youth for 12 years. When somebody says senior pastor, I'm like, I'm not a senior. Everybody calm down. But that's what the next step is. How do I get there? I don't know, God. You better start telling me something because I ain't got no job. You know what I'm saying? So what I know is that we're going to take steps. We're going to move forward. And just like you, if you take steps, you move forward, and you keep going, God's going to open up doors. Things are going to change in life. And if you don't learn to embrace them now, you're never going to learn how to embrace them later. And like I said earlier, I'm not dying. This is the 21st century. You literally could talk to me any possible way you could think of with a digital phone. Well, I don't have, you got apps, you got social media. If you lose my number, which hasn't changed in over 10 years, if you lose it, I'm on social media. There's like 15 different ways to text. I don't even think people need phone numbers anymore. It's getting to the point where you don't need a phone number. You can literally call somebody on Facebook and Snapchat. Why do I need a phone number? It's costing me too much money. We will stay in touch as much as you want to stay in touch. It doesn't mean I'm going to be there every day, no, but you can know this. I will always pray. I'll never stop praying. And if you have a problem, you ask, I pray, and I'll send you. And I believe that the right person's going to come in here to keep you guys going. Because that's what God does. That's what he always does. That's what he always will do. I'm just going to keep preaching, then I don't have to stop, right? So this is what I want to do. This is how I want to kind of close things out. You know, this is, it's different on all kinds of levels. You know, I'm trying to hold back some of the emotion because I don't do well when I cry. People start clapping. I just stop. I don't want to do those weird things where I just stop talking. I just want to keep pushing through. You know, we got another service left. It's not really a service, but it'll be a celebration. I want you guys to come out. If you have something you want to say to me and Angela, prepare it and come say it. It's going to be a whole thing. We just want to enjoy one more night with you guys. Without me being up here and preaching and all this kind of stuff, I just want to enjoy one more night with all of you. And that's what the fifth will be. But tonight, before we end this, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit still wants to move. I just believe it. So here's what I'm going to do. There is, you know, sometimes people think I'm stalling, but I'm not. I'm trying to hear what God's telling me, just so you know. I'm not just like, what do I pull out of my pocket here? That's not what's happening. I'm really trying to make sure I hear everything he's asking me to say. You know, so the Holy Spirit works every time we have a message because that's who's involved. You know, so what I want to do first, I'm going to pray over all of you at the end, not like individually, but as a group. But I want to give an opportunity for God to do something in you if you're dealing with something. So before, I know that there's people dealing with something because here's what happens. People think, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. That's just not true. I never thought in a million years I would get up here and preach and talk and do all those things. I wanted to be in front of people. That's an obvious thing, but that had nothing to do with preaching. So here's what I want. I want the Spirit to kind of work in you because I think you're dealing with some of you in a way that, you know, is maybe private, whatever it is. I'm going to have Jonathan and them sing something. Whatever he knows all the words to, I'll let him sing. Oh, that's a good one. It's my favorite song, so you can sing that one. That's good. So he's going to sing it. You know what? It's perfect. See, I talked about giving everything to you, and a couple days ago, before Jonathan knew what I was talking about, he said, what's your favorite song? I said, my favorite song is With Everything from Hillsong United. It's been my favorite song since I can remember it came out. Why? I don't know. Maybe God did something to me when I heard it the first time. Every time I hear the, whoa, I'm like, yeah, my voice cracks, and I'm like, yeah, because I can't sing.
Welcome to the club.
You know, certain people can sing it really high, and I'm like, ah. I don't know what it is, but I want to sing that song, then we're going to pray, and I want you right now in this moment, while this song is going and while this song is singing, I want you to give everything to God and say, God, listen, I want to give you everything. Even if you don't want to give him everything right now, give him everything right now. Well, how do I do that? Close your eyes and let him talk to you. I'm not asking you to do anything you feel uncomfortable with. I'm not asking you to come to the front. I'm not asking you to do any of those things. If you want to come to the front, come to the front. If you want to stay in your seat, stay in your seat. If you want to sit down, sit down. All I'm asking you to do is close your eyes and give everything to God as much as you can right now.